Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of Master Meter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. So this is our third episode of a five-episode series featuring small towns in the state of Louisiana. This series is sponsored by the Louisiana Municipal Association. So once again, we'll start by asking my new friend, John Gallagher, the executive director of the LMA, just a little bit about the region of the state and the specific small town that we'll be visiting. All right, so I know I'm going to Northwest Louisiana, and I believe I'm visiting the town of Sarepta, Louisiana. So tell me a little bit about that region and what I might expect to find in Sarepta.
Sure. Northwest Louisiana is really my home area. I was born and reared in Shreveport, which is just southwest of Sarepta. And Sarepta is very interesting. It was named after the benefactor for the first church in the area, Miss Sarepta Carter. And just like a lot of Northwest Louisiana, it's heavily religious and very, very Protestant oriented. One interesting fact that it's located about a half hour north, as I stated earlier, in Shreveport, which I don't know, many of you may know or may not know, the Louisiana Hayride in the Municipal Auditorium.
No.
That's where Elvis Presley really had his first appearance.
Okay.
Hank Williams appeared there. Johnny Cash. It has a rich history, kind of rival. I don't know if many of you have been watching the country music special on PBS in the last few weeks, a few weeks ago. It featured a lot of the Louisiana Hayride. So that's something that we're very Northwest Louisiana very proud of. And it's also, really quiet retirement community, a lot of family values there. And it just really is a very, very nice, quiet, interesting little town. And it's a home, as you may know, of Trace Adkins, which is along with the Louisiana Hayride, is a very well-known, world-famous country music singer whose mother happens to be the mayor.
And he also
has two other siblings that they're all equally proud of.
So you're sending me to meet Trace Adkins' mama.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Yes,
fantastic.
I am.
All right. Can't wait to go. So, small towners, today we visit a small town in the northwest corner of Louisiana that has seen some change and challenges come its way, and we visit with a mayor who didn't originally run to be the mayor, but continues on to make efforts to keep her small town a great place to live. We're going to go talk with Mayor Peggy Adkins in the small town of Sarepta, Louisiana. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Podcast is sponsored by Koch Industries. Just like the great small towns we feature on Small Town Podcast, every great company has a story. From its humble beginnings starting out in Middle America in the 1960s, Koch Industries has become one of the largest privately held companies in the nation and has achieved an international presence in 50 countries around the globe. The companies of Koch Industries create innovations in transportation, medical care, water filtration, building materials, household goods, and so many other products and technologies that impact our lives every day. You can see more of the Coke story, both where they've come from and where they're going, by visiting kochind.com/podcast. All right, I'm now in the mayor's office at City Hall. It was the Municipal Services Building, is what it says outside, in the village of Sarepta, Louisiana.
Town.
Oh, we are a town. Okay.
Yes, we are.
Oh, I got corrected already. This is going to be good. And I'm joined in her office by the mayor of Sarepta, Louisiana, Mayor Peggy Adkins. So, Mayor Adkins, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Well, welcome to Sarepta.
Thank you. Thank you. I like to kind of describe the scene of where I'm at. Since it's a podcast, people can't see it. We'll have some pictures and little video snippets of where we are. But the mayor's office is just to the right when you walk in the front doors of, I guess you call it City Hall, but it said Municipal Building, and you're kind of in a fishbowl. So you cannot hide from anybody who comes in looking for you and try to convince them you're not in your office.
No, I can't.
My office is in the back, so someone can say, let me see if he's here, and walk down the hall, and I can tell him whether I'm there or not, even if I actually am. You don't have that luxury, do you?
No, I don't.
You wish you did sometimes? You need to get some blinds for this?
Sometimes, but, you know, I've had other mayors tell me I need to be in the back, but there's not a lot of windows back there, and I don't want to be in the back, but yes, sometimes they can see.
Yeah. They know that they've got easy access. That's probably a good thing for them, and some days maybe
not so
such
good.
A good for
That's
you.
Right.
Well, I'm excited. I do have to address something just head on in the beginning. I see that when you come up, there's actually on your marquee, it says that Sarepta, Louisiana is the home of Trace Adkins, the famous country musician. And since your last name is Adkins, I'll just go ahead and get this out of the way. Are you in any way related to the country star, Trace Adkins?
I am. I'm his mother.
And you said people come in looking for you just for that.
Yes, they do. Even call here.
Oh, yeah. Call just to try to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
They try to get you to get him to do something.
Yes. They want free tickets to a concert.
Oh,
they
goodness.
Want autographs. They want something for an auction or something, me to get him to do something.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to talking about him and the impact that he's had on the town. I've seen several things, you know, honoring him and talking about him. And I really came to talk about you. So let me start the same way I start all my interviews. Were you born in Sarepta, Louisiana?
Yes, I was.
Born and raised?
Yes.
Well, what was life growing up in Sarepta like when you were coming up?
Well, my dad had a feed store just right over there on Main Street, which this highway was built through here. I'm not really sure. I think in like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But Daddy had a feed store over there, and so I was here all my life. I went to high school. It was Sarepta High School. I started in the first grade, graduated in 1960, and then I married in November of 60, and we started our family here and still are here.
Never left for
Never
a day.
Left. I went to business school
okay.
in Shreveport. Yes, I
okay.
did. Went to business school and got a degree in, back then it was like machines. You mm-hmm. don't even have those machines anymore. I mean, it was like adding machines that you did this to and then verifying invoices and stuff like that,
yeah.
shorthand, typing, and I started out as school secretary.
Now, either when you graduated high school or maybe while you were at business school in Shreveport, how far away is Shreveport? It's real nearby.
It's like 55 miles.
Yeah, but you lived over there while you were in school over there.
I stayed in Business Girls Inn, came back home every weekend.
Okay. Was there ever a thought when you graduated high school, maybe when you were getting that diploma put in your hand, about leaving Sarepta, going
yes,
somewhere
there was.
Else?
I wanted to live in a big city.
Yeah.
But my boyfriend didn't want to.
Okay. Okay.
So he was from here.
He kept you home. Y'all
yes.
were high school sweethearts?
Yes.
Okay. Where would you have gone? In Shreveport, a big enough city? You're
well,
talking
I
about
think Spring Hill would have been a little
Spring
bigger.
Spring Hill?
And he worked at the mill.
Spring.
So that would have been perfect to live in Spring Hill, but no, he wanted to live in Sarepta.
So just to give us a little scale now, what's the population of the town of Sarepta?
We are supposed to be 1,000, but the next census, to be a town, you're supposed to have 1,000. Right. The next census will probably be 972 or something.
So you become classified as a village? I'm learning my
they
I'm learning
do
my cities.
Not
oh,
punish
they don't.
You if you drop down to a village, and they
okay.
do not make you.
Okay.
We want to stay a town. I've got
yeah.
five aldermen if I'm a town. There's there's not as many grants for villages as there is for towns, so I don't know what's going to happen there, but we're going to try and stay a town.
I didn't realize until you just said there seems to be advantages as far as grants available.
Yes, there is.
For the larger municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a benefit to being a town as opposed to a village.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you want to stay a town.
I don't want to stay a town.
And you won't have to be a village if it does drop.
I won't have to. They don't punish you. So,
well, that's good.
We'll see.
Well, my original question was going to be, so it's around 1,000 mm-hmm. in Sarepta. What's the population roughly of Spring Hill, which is about maybe 15 minutes north of here? you said it'd be good to go to that big city,
yeah,
of Spring Hill.
I don't know, about 8 to 10,000.
Okay. So 8 to 10,000 population places, the big time compared to Sarepta. And when you were in high school and business school, you thought, man, we can live in Spring Hill.
There were more stores and more to do,
right,
you know.
Right, yeah.
Even in Bossier, a lot of shopping you could do,
right,
in Shreveport.
Yeah.
A lot of shopping,
yeah,
and places to go. Nothing to do in Sarepta.
Yeah. I assume you seem very happy and love your town and you're serving as the mayor. So that must have been okay to stay. But you said,
oh,
you,
yeah.
So what did you, how did you get involved or maybe stay involved? Because you're probably already involved. Your husband wanted to be here. You wanted to be with him. So that's worked out.
Okay. Well, he went to Oil City to work on construction right after graduation, and I went to Shreveport to business school.
Right.
And we planned on getting married in November, and he had an uncle that worked at the box plant at IP, and he got him on at the box plant in Spring Hill, or
okay,
you'd say Cullen.
Yep.
And I came back home after business school. I worked at Wilson's Packing Company a little while, and then I came back, and we got married in November, and then we had Tracy, and his real name is Tracy, in 1962, and then we built a home, and we needed extra money, so two people need to work. So the secretary at Sarepta High School was not coming back the next year, and I went to work in 1963 as the secretary of Sarepta High School.
Okay.
Built a home in 65, had two more boys, and been here all our lives.
Ever since. Well, at some point along that timeline, you got involved in local government. So I'm curious how that got, and maybe there were some other civic organizations or involvement you did between those things there.
Well, at 45 years old, I had been secretary of Sarepta High School all that time, mm-hmm, and you can retire at 45 years old in the school system. And I had worked for five different principals, and that was enough for me. Our kids were grown and gone from home, and so I retired as the secretary and sold home interiors for several years. Then I went back into the school system as a teacher in a classroom where they got their GED, mm-hmm, on the computer.
Oh, okay.
And then I worked till I was 65 in the school system.
Okay.
And then I retired again from that. My husband retired from IP at 65, and we traveled a lot. Then the library in town needed a librarian.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called me, wanted to know if I wanted to be the librarian, and I worked for 3 years as a librarian. And then whenever the election came up for a new alderman in town, a teacher and I decided someday we were going to run for something in public office. We talked about the school board, and we also talked about the town. And so I ran for alderman, and I got alderman that year.
Okay. So what is it that, and maybe that was that conversation with the fellow teacher, what was it that motivated you want to run for public office?
I just wanted to get involved in things that were going on in town and see if we couldn't make things better, like cleaning up the town, fixing some of the places that were run down,
mm-hmm,
just to learn.
Yeah.
It's been like a college degree. It's a learning process. You don't come in here knowing what you're doing.
No. If you think you do, you'll have a rude awakening.
I didn't come in here on purpose. Our mayor died.
Oh, that's how you became the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let me follow that story a little bit. So when you were elected, first time you ran for office, mm-hmm, you got elected.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things that maybe you got to working on as an alderman? Obviously, like you said, it was a steep learning curve. So a lot of it is just learning. But what are some of the projects or some of those efforts?
There were some grants we were trying to get. And another lady ran the same time I did. And she was a retired school teacher, too.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't at the same school that I was in.
Right.
But we both started working on some grants, trying to get grants to help our town with some things. And we, at our library, on the other end of the library, we had like a storage room. And we really went to working and getting things out of there that was from the town. We wanted to have a museum, but that never happened.
Yeah.
And we began to work on some things to try to get grants, and she and I both helped get some grants.
So I always ask this question. I usually get an interesting response. What were some of the issues that maybe you didn't expect to have to deal with that are important to citizens that end up dealing with more than you thought you would? Usually it's the potholes and the either trash collection or yard debris, those kinds of things for us.
I knew that, too. I knew the potholes and the streets and didn't realize how much it costs to get something like that done,
right,
in which we don't have the money.
Yeah.
And which we don't qualify for a lot of grants.
Available.
I can start applying for a grant, and whenever they ask population, and then when they ask so many Hispanics, so many Blacks, so many whites, and immediately we'll get cut out.
Okay, so that your demographics don't match up with some of the grants.
And two, I would say poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think our people really tell the truth when a census is made of what income tax bracket they're in.
Oh, okay.
And it seems as if maybe we don't qualify for any of those.
Because your income level is too high?
Income level too high.
Okay.
I do not have a poverty section of town, so-called.
You
know,
gotcha.
Like some people, they will have a poverty section in town that they can claim. It's like for a block grant.
We have community development block grants,
yes,
in Georgia, and it's geared to help more low and middle income.
Low and middle income. Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
So everybody in Sarepta makes too much money is what
they
you're
think
saying.
They do.
Or at least they're reporting too much money on the survey.
They're reporting too much, yes.
Well, I guess that'd be a good problem to have, is if they actually had too much money for the grants. But tell them, so do you tell people when they say, hey, we need to get these potholes fixed? You say, well, you make too much money. We can't.
No, I do not tell them that.
Go fix them yourself.
But we work with a police juror, and they have so much money for each town that they help you with the potholes and things,
uh-huh,
and we get that done. But as far as paving a street or something, which we tried that a couple of years ago, and there's not enough money to pave a street. And
right,
really the grants, we didn't get one. We tried to get one for Crow Lake Road, and we did not get the grant. And we were able to only pave not even a fourth a mile,
right,
for the money we had.
Well, that's part of that learning curve.
I learned it
too when I first got elected and I swore in. I didn't know anything about street paving or utilities operations
public
safety. And you have to learn real fast, because if you're the mayor, you're supposed to be the decision maker, and decision makers are supposed to have all the info.
I know.
So you have
learn
to learn
a lot of that. There are things you can do and there are things you can't do.
But I want to say, I remember this number, and I'm just rounding here, but it seems like some of the prices, and I think it'd be about the same. I don't think the geography between our states would make it too much different, but about $100,000 to resurface a mile,
yes,
of asphalt and street.
Yes.
So when you're looking at a tenth of a mile, that's $10,000,
uh-huh,
and that's just, you know,
yes,
when you have a quarter mile of, I don't have an extra $25,000 just sitting around with nowhere to go in our budget. I maybe Sarepta, because you guys make so much money. Maybe you'll cut all this.
No,
extra.
We don't have a big tax base.
Yeah, yeah.
And our city limits, town, mm-hmm, limits are like 1 mile east, 1 mile west,
right,
1 mile south, 1 mile north,
probably,
and that's not a big population.
Mostly
really
along the, because the highway runs through here, and then,
yes,
you got some of the side roads and everything. So, well, let me go back to your kind of your chronology. So you ran for alderman, you were elected the first time, and you immediately started going out for some grants and learning which ones you could get, which ones you couldn't get, learning the cost of everything. How many terms did you serve as an alderman?
One term. And then I ran again, and I was mayor pro tem.
Okay.
They do that by who gets the most votes.
Okay, so whoever of the at-large
uh-huh,
aldermen. Okay.
So I ran one term. It was 4 years. In the next term, in 2013, I was mayor pro tem. Our mayor got sick in November, and
mm-hmm,
he died like 2 weeks later.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was mayor pro tem, and I had to step in and fill the position until an election.
Right. And that was, you said, what year did you become?
November 2013.
And so it's 2019, you're still the mayor. So I assume that means the town said, hey, we'd like you to stay in this seat.
Yeah.
And you, whether reluctantly or not, you agreed.
The mayor died 2013, November, and then I came in and worked for a couple of months. My husband got sick in January of 2014, and mm-hmm, he died February the 1st of 2014.
Oh, my goodness.
And here I was mayor.
Yeah.
And I was devastated. I could not even think. And my boys were here for me for a while, and they were like, Mama, you need something to do. I said, I don't really need that to do. And they said, Mama, you need to stay busy. And Daddy knew you could do it, and we know you can do it, and you need to do it. So here I am.
So you continue
5 years later.
Yeah. So you had to run at least one more time.
I had to run, and nobody. I waited the last minute. I tried to convince one of the aldermen to run. I tried to find somebody, and nobody would run. They said, you're going to do a good job. I waited till the last minute before I went to the courthouse and put my name in. I said, what's going to happen if I don't run?
Right.
The police juror appoint somebody, and it's probably going to be you.
So you might as well register.
So I did, and I got it, and next year is – time to run again.
Okay. And what are your thoughts so far now?
I hadn't made a decision.
Okay.
What I'm going to do.
Well, as mayor, as an alderman, you were going for grants. You found out the difficulties, but mm-hmm. I'm sure you also had some successes with getting some things and making some steady change. When you take on the big chair, and now you're the mayor with five aldermen to work with, what have you been working on since then in Sarepta?
We've got a couple of new officers. We've also got a drug dog.
Okay.
And our guys are doing a really good job. We've got that. We've got a new police car. We also, our biggest money thing is the sewer.
Yeah.
And
infrastructure. Well, we just talked about the cost of repaving the street. That's nothing compared to what it costs to run or replace new sewer line.
And we've had to replace a lot of sewer lines. We've written for a lot of grants there, and we'll get a little bit, but you don't get really what you need.
Right.
And right now, we may be getting a capital outlay grant because the levees on the pond have to be brought up, and that's going to be very expensive. So we're working on that now. I never dreamed about having to do something with sewer, but that's a learning process too. And I've got a good guy.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. I don't know that you could really convince somebody the real cost behind running a wastewater treatment and wastewater system, just all that's involved with that.
That's our biggest cost.
And our EPD requirements to do those things. Yeah. And when those lines start getting dilapidated.
And they're old.
It's not something that you can just not worry about. Obviously, it's going to become a bigger and bigger deal. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to talk some more about Sarepta and some of the things about it and things, history. And we've had some conversations that I was setting up that I want to get into. But I've got a little series of questions that I ask everybody that I interview. And they're just get to know you questions. It's a quick way to help me get to know you. And maybe people that think they know Peggy Atkins will get to know her a little better by these. So
okay.
I've only got four. The first question is, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Not really.
No?
No.
Okay. Well,
Peg leg?
Where did that come from?
Peggy.
Well, I figured it was offshoot of Peggy, but was there an incident behind that or just?
No. I mean, just somebody wanting to shorten my name or something. In the song Peggy Sue, whenever it came out, the bus driver used to sing Peggy Sue to me. My name's Peggy Louise. So really not anything that anybody ever used.
So Peggy Sue got sung to you by a bus driver a little bit that didn't catch. But Peg Leg, that actually lengthens your name if you think about it. Peggy's shorter than Peg Leg.
Uh-huh.
But so was that like a schoolyard name or something?
No, really.
Was that just
never was called it at school.
Okay. All right. Well, kind of for short periods of time, then Peggy Sue and Peg Leg.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question. If you had to sing a karaoke song, maybe in a contest, we'll have a contest and you have to sing karaoke song to defend the honor of Sarepta, Louisiana. What would be your go-to karaoke song? And just to make sure that you don't feel pressured, it cannot be a song that is normally sung by a member of your family.
Oh, my word.
I mean, you'd have to pick a favorite there, so I'm trying to make it easy on you. Do you want to pick a Trace Adkins song? Is that what you're thinking?
The rest of mine, probably. That's it.
That's the one? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
I like fried fish.
Fried fish.
What? Baked potato.
You got a specific fish? There's a catfish festival somewhere else.
Yes, catfish is my favorite fish. I don't want them. I do not like baked fish, broil fish, or anything really. I will eat it, but I'd rather have the fried shrimp and fish.
Okay. All right. And you said a baked potato goes with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That sounds good. Got a good meal. I want to come too. All right. Final question. No pressure on having to answer Trace Adkins on this one either. If you could attend any concert of any singer or band, a performer of any kind, and got to see any kind of performance, and that the performer or performers can be dead or alive, whose concert would you want to go see?
George Strait.
George Strait in concert. Good answer. All right. Now I feel like I've gotten to know you better.
It's time to check in again with our friend Karen White, who serves as executive counsel at the Louisiana Municipal Association. I asked her before about issues facing local governments of all sizes. This time, I asked her about the challenges that are specific to the small towns in Louisiana.
So, Karen, what do you, in your work with LMA and all the various hats and you wear and roles you play, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges to small towns in Louisiana?
Unfortunately, many of our small towns are facing limited revenue and a limited revenue base. Mm-hmm. And that is the result of a lot of different things. Sometimes it can be industry moving away, or crumbling infrastructure creates a real strain, an economic strain on the community. But it also arises from two pretty big factors, in my opinion. One is the huge amount of tax exemptions that are mandatorily pushed down by the state legislature onto local government. Some of your listeners may be stunned to hear that there are literally hundreds, over 300 tax exemptions that local governments have to deal with. So that shackles our ability to
collect taxes. I'm a little surprised that it's that high, but yeah, I'm familiar with some of them.
Yeah, and they're convoluted. It's not always as easy as thou shalt not tax this thing. Sometimes it's you can tax this thing on this day, but not that day.
Up to this amount.
And only up to this amount. Yeah. So that has unfortunately created a very convoluted system, but it also limits the tax base.
Right.
Layer on top of that, the number of unfunded mandates that are pushed down to local government. So we're talking everything from the provision of, you know, some basic services, which would be done anyway, but mandatory participation and mandatory funding of certain programs. So you overlay those two things on a community that may already be struggling with trying to find the new source of its revenue, and it creates a disaster for our folks sometimes.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm.
So let's talk about Sarepta very specifically. Obviously, we've been talking about you and your involvement with Sarepta, but we were having a conversation as I was setting up about how some things have changed over the years. You actually had it tied directly to some of the consolidation and changes within your school systems. Just talk about that and how that's maybe affected the community.
Back in around 2000-2001, they were thinking about consolidating the schools on this end of the parish, and there's four towns here that are small except for Spring Hill, and it's the biggest one on this end of the parish in Webster Parish. And so the school board got together trying to decide what to do to save money.
Mm-hmm. And sure. Any consolidation is supposed to be a money saving.
Busing kids to different schools. Yeah. So needless to say, Sarepta was really upset because we had a big school. I mean, kids were coming from Plain Dealing to go to school here. Of course, they had to get permission if they came from like Cotton Valley or Spring Hill or Shongaloo to come to our school. But Shongaloo didn't have a football team, so a lot of the kids wanted to come to Sarepta to play football.
Oh, wow, okay. So it was a high school over there without a football team. Yeah, so if you wanted to play,
without
you
a football
go somewhere
team.
Else.
Yeah. So they wanted to play football, and they could come to Sarepta to play football in Sarepta from Shongaloo. So when all of this came about, and we tried to save our school, the board members voted, and there was like one vote that made us lose our school.
Okay.
And they consolidated the schools. They got together, and they decided that Spring Hill would be the high school. And they changed all the school's names. We saved none of our mascots.
Uh-huh.
Spring Hill was Lumberjack. That hurt them as much as it did us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Spring Hill became the high school of four towns, North Webster High School. They decided that Sarepta would be the junior high, and we have Spring Hill, Cotton Valley, Shongaloo, and Sarepta as a junior high at our school. And so they're like North Webster Junior High, and they're the Knights.
Yeah.
And then we have Cotton Valley.
Yeah.
And that's the upper elementary, and it's like 7 miles down the road here. And we have Shongaloo, and it's lower elementary, and it's like 12 miles over here. Some of the kids go 14 miles to an elementary school.
So when you said, because you were talking about the high school that was here that's now a junior high school, but did you also have elementary?
We were K through 12 here.
Oh, so the school that was in Sarepta was K through 12.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so now when they're in middle school, they're here. But if they're elementary, they're going, you said, 14 miles away. And the high school is up in Spring Hill, which is that's about
seven.
Okay. Okay. So not quite as far, but it's just So I guess describe how that changed, because I understand from the school board side of things, I'm sure you can too, about the money saving, because there's a lot of rural areas that are having trouble with their tax bases and things like that. So you have to look for creative ways to still do the education or provide the service in other ways. But how did that, because you're talking about the mascots, so it's like there's an identity with that, mm-hmm. and that's now been kind of pulled away. So how has that affected things in Sarepta or maybe in other places in Webster Parish?
Well, it really has. The old school people, they're just like, we're still Hornets, and we're not going to Spring Hill for the homecoming ball game. We're not going to walk across the field. We're having a reunion in 2 weekends from now, and the Sarepta High School reunion's held over at our community house.
Yeah.
As a town, I helped save all of the pictures in the building and, you know, all of the senior pictures from 1923 on to the last year that we had them. They're all hung in our community house over here. There was a thing that was over our entryway to the school, and the class of 1959 made the entryway. It was like Sarepta Hornets. We saved that and put it over at our walking trail at the park.
Okay.
And then so the reunion that will be held is going to be in our community house. We don't have our reunion at the school.
Right.
And these people it's kind of not our school
right.
anymore, and that's the way we feel. Somebody commented the other day, and they put on Facebook our water tower, and it has Sarepta, Home of the Hornets, on it. And they said, I hope they never repaint that Hornet off there,
right.
take it off, you know.
The old mascot.
The old mascot. And they're saying, oh, Peggy Adkins will surely save that.
So if you allow the water tower.
I can't do anything about the water tower. We don't have the water. That's something that our town has, the sewer. We don't have the water.
Oh, you don't. Okay, so you provide wastewater services, but not water services.
But not water services. That happened years before we became a village. And the first mayor helped them get water in town with, I understand from him, a 105-year-old man, that he helped get the water with the, they agreed that when, if he became a village and became the mayor, that they would give the water to the town. But they never did. And years ago, the board before me fought to try to get the water.
Yeah.
So it would be all in one. It never happened. And I'm not going to fight for it because we work well together. I know you can get some grants when you're together, but
hard to go alone.
They will cut water off whenever somebody don't pay the sewer bill. We have that agreement with them.
Okay.
They also could pay the water bill over here until just about 5 months ago, and it was so much confusion but they're just right behind us here.
So that's who that provides water to all your citizens?
The police juror.
Okay. That's the...
It's a different board.
Okay. Okay. Explain that, because we don't have those in Georgia, police juries. I've seen people, there's a lot, it's an election year in Louisiana, I can tell.
Yes, it is.
So I see so-and-so for district whatever of police jury.
The police jury,
we don't have those.
They have barns, and it's like with the road.
Okay.
And they're road crew for the parish.
Okay. Okay.
And they do other things for the parish. So the parish has water systems too.
Okay.
Small little, that's not
more
in my community.
For the unincorporated areas.
Yes.
So that's
more for the
we have county commissions and they handle everything for countywide in Georgia, but they usually end up focusing on, well, it just depends on where you are. Some of the metropolitan county commissions do things a little differently than more rural counties. All right. So they provide the water.
They provide the water.
For you, and you provide wastewater for some of them?
Wastewater.
Okay. All right.
And we do in just the city limits. Now, the Sarepta water system goes outside the city limits.
Right.
People outside the city limits has water.
Okay. But that's provided by
we don't have
police
sewer.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So that water, going back to the reason we got into that water tower, the tank, so who owns that?
The water department.
The water department with the police jury.
And so they would be the ones, if it ever was repainted, that they would say what they're going to do. And I don't hardly think they would ever do it, because the one that works over there and the board members are all Sarepta people.
Yeah. Well, if you're thinking about it, you said you were thinking about running for mayor again. You better make sure they don't paint that water tower.
I'd have to fight to keep that like it
is.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So I know some of the guys on the board, and I don't think that would ever happen.
Yeah.
They would ever change it. But who knows, when we're all gone.
So next time I roll through town, I'm probably going to see a little campaign sign that say, keep the Hornet.
<I guess so. laughs>
Trying to make sure.
Yeah.
What about some of, we talked about several challenges. You talked about some of the property upkeep and the tax base is kind of receded a little bit. And that's a common struggle with a lot of small towns, a lot of rural areas, regardless of what state you're in. So I assume Sarepta's kind of dealing with some of those things as well.
Yes. I mean, we're real small, so we only have a couple of good businesses here in town. And one of them's the little shortstop store that's just right next door here, and they have breakfast items. And then we have the dollar store there that brings in taxes. And then we have a Dorothy's Diner down here that used to be the Hornet Drive-In, which we hated to see the name change because It was from the Sarepta Hornets. And it was closed down, and the people that bought it named it Dorothy's Diner just about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And they're doing real well.
Good.
But we don't have a lot of taxes coming in. So that's where our main income is, and then property taxes. And with people moving out and with lower income homes, a lot of the homes are older, and mm-hmm. we have homestead exemption.
Right.
So there's not a lot of property taxes coming in either because our city limits are like 1 mile each way, north.
Right.
South, east, and west. And so there's not a lot of money coming in.
I think you even mentioned this, and this is something I've been dealing with in Ocilla, Georgia, too, is you got properties that are kind of getting dilapidated.
Yes.
No one's living in them, and the folks that own it, they're not here. They've moved away.
They leave it or somebody dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Family home that's just not being cared for.
And they don't even
sell it or fix it up,
a succession.
Right. Right.
So you can't hardly get them to come back to fix it up. And then if you really, pushed it, you have to bring them to court.
Right.
We have fined some people, but there's just some people don't take pride in their home.
Well, and sometimes a small town doesn't have the resources to adequately do those processes that are required. So,
yeah.
And that's somebody's private property. And so my personal view is to respect that, but it's also affecting the people that live on either side. Mm-hmm. It affects the community. And if they really didn't want it, then, to sell it off to somebody who will develop it, who will kind of do something in the community. I wish more people would do that. And sorry, I'm editorializing now. Uh-huh. This is supposed to be your interview, but you and I have some things in common as far as that goes. Well, talk about, because now this might seem like a small thing, and sometimes I'm on these episodes and I get excited because there's a new Burger King coming in someone's town that I'm interviewing, and that's really, so you just said there was a diner, the Hornet Diner,
uh-huh.
and you're sad the name's not there anymore mm-hmm. because of that tradition, but somebody just opened it 6 months ago. So there is somebody still who looks at your town and says, hey, this is worth investing in. I like the feel of this town and the laid back lifestyle, and I want to invest in this. There's got to be something still drawing people. So what would be maybe something else you'd like to see come to town? Obviously, just more stores and more restaurants in general, but is there something specific that maybe y'all are working on trying to bring to Sarepta?
Not really, except our parks and recreation and things. We just put in some new park equipment, new slide.
Okay. Yeah, just doing some of those things.
Uh-huh.
And it's those little things that make a big difference over time.
And people brag on it. I mean, I started a festival whenever I was on the board, Christmas festival for mm-hmm. the town. And we now give part of the money from the silent auctions for scholarships for seniors
uh-huh.
at North Webster High School.
Okay.
And we have a silent auction. We have entertainment. We have all kinds of things for the kids over there, bouncy houses and chili cook-off. And we've been doing this now for 7 years.
Oh, cool.
And it's brought a lot of people in. We have really good fireworks. We have a 4th of July fireworks, and we have the Christmas fireworks that have brought a lot of people. And they just brag, like, why doesn't Spring Hill do this? Why doesn't Minden do this? Why doesn't Cotton Valley do this? And they're all like, the little town of Sarepta can do this.
That's right.
It's something that I wanted to start, and we're our own entity now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun for the kids. It's fun for the different communities around. People come from Shreveport for our Christmas festival.
Oh, that's awesome. So the festival you mentioned, what time of year? You have it the same time of year?
Christmas festival is the first Saturday in December.
Okay.
And the other one is 4th of July, and it's the 4th of July.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I was thinking when you said a different festival, those are some other activities are going on. Well, very cool. There's some photos on the wall behind you. I'm describing this to our audience. And let me see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I recognize the 9th picture because I believe that's you.
Yes, it is.
And you actually referenced earlier in this conversation that you still talk to the very first mayor of Sarepta. You say he is 105?
Yes.
So he's the picture all the way on the left. So go through, because that's actually a great way to kind of look at the history. You know, there's several towns in Georgia where they say, oh, this town was established in 1897 or 1902 or even farther back than that, some of them. But yours is, if the first mayor's still alive, even though he is 105, that means y'all have a little bit of short history as being an official municipality. So give us the history of it by going through the mayors there.
Well, he was the first mayor in 1954 while I was in high school. I went to school with his daughter.
And what's his name?
Mr. Griffin, Richard Griffin.
Richard Griffin, first mayor.
Yes, and he was 105 Monday. A big birthday party for him last weekend. He still calls me sometimes. He wants us to put on the marquee out there when he has a birthday, you know, Mr. Griffin's birthday and everything.
Well, you know, if you're going to be the first mayor ever.
That's true.
I feel like that yes. You should get a little bit of a birthday on the light up marquee.
So. Whenever he had his 100th birthday, one of the past aldermen in town had a bunch of flags, and he was our social studies teacher at Sarepta, and he had a bunch of flags, and he put them all in his front yard. So when people passed, he lives on the Plain Dealing Highway just up from me. But yes, and he's still living.
I would assume, but maybe it's not correct, that he would have been an integral part of establishing Sarepta as you would have been a village at the time.
We were a village.
The population grew,
yes.
And you got to be a town.
Yes.
I assume it goes through the state legislature to get that charter.
Yes.
So he was probably pushing for that, and so then became the first mayor. But how long was he the mayor?
He was the mayor around 8 years, and then he quit, and then something happened. One of the other guys that stepped in didn't stay very long, and he came back again.
Oh, okay.
And then
so his picture really should be up there twice.
I guess so. And then he served again 3 or 4 years, and there was so much going on between him and the alderman, and they just could not get along. Mm. And there were actual fights
in the council chambers.
Yes,
oh goodness,
there was. And people would come to the town meetings, and he started serving from out of his house because he was scared to come to the office.
Oh, that's not good.
It wasn't good.
Well, let me go back to the happier part of the story. What is it that kind of drove him and whoever else was involved to say, hey, we need to be our own town? Did people refer to this community as Sarepta before that?
And then, oh, yes. So it's been Sarepta forever.
For hundreds of years.
For hundreds of years, yes. And whenever they first consolidated or whatever, became a
yep.
town, I don't think
yep.
a lot of incorporated, and a lot of people didn't agree with it. My daddy had a store, mm-hmm. and, you know, you have to pay for license.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do before we were a village.
Right, because you weren't in a municipality, so there was no municipal
yes.
government to require a business license.
And yeah. I've read the minute books back from day one, and they're real interesting.
Yeah.
Daddy was actually brought to court because
he didn't pay his license.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness, my daddy didn't pay for his license, and they brought him to the town board, you know, and I
yeah.
don't know whether they had lawyers then or not, but daddy had to pay his license.
Yeah, he was running a business.
Yes.
You know, nobody was helping him out.
He was
going
to bucket.
Sudden,
he wasn't going to yeah. pay to have license. He had his store before we became a village. The Caraway Feed and Hardware Store was started by an Allen, and my dad bought it,
uh-huh.
and he had his store before we became a village, and he was not going to pay for license to...
Do you think it might be ironic that that was his first interaction with the first mayor of the town, village at the time, and now his daughter is the mayor?
I didn't even realize that had happened, but when I read the minutes, my daddy's name was in the minutes.
Oh, so you didn't know that growing
up.
But then you go in the minutes, and that's how you discovered it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's right.
Well, that's ironic that now you're the one enforcing people to give
yes,
to pay their business license.
Pay their business license. Yeah.
Well, what are some of the things, and I don't even know if we could go along the way, and any significant events or changes that have happened based on those pictures up there?
Well, Tommy Cave, and he didn't stay very long.
No?
I mean, people just could not stand the pressure. I mean,
yeah.
people, if they didn't like you, they were going to cause you all kinds of trouble. They didn't want to run for mayor. They don't want to run for mayor.
Right.
But they want to tell you how to do it.
That's right. That's right.
The next one was Johnny Paxton. He's still living. Tommy Cave's not living. Johnny Paxton's still living. As a matter of fact, this was probably his desk.
Okay.
This was a bank, and it was Regions
right.
when Johnny lived here. And Johnny was the manager of the bank. So he ran for mayor. And back then, the mayors didn't have to stay all day long. They still don't have to, but I don't play golf.
There just seems to be a lot going on. So you can always
yes.
find something to work on or
uh-huh.
try to
there is a
try
lot
to
going
repair
on.
Or fix, yeah.
He stayed about 4 years, and that was enough for him. He doesn't even live here anymore, but he's still living. The next one is Anderson, Danny Anderson. He worked for the Spring Hill Press in Spring Hill. He was the mayor probably a year. Some of the ball field people didn't agree with things that he did over at our baseball field and softball field. As a matter of fact, one of the daddies beat him up at the ball field.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And man, it's a tough job being the mayor in Sarepta.
And he quit.
Goodness.
So he served a couple of years and he quit. He's not living anymore either. I don't know where they moved off to whenever. The next one is Logan Weibel, and he's not living anymore either. He didn't even serve his 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something? Bo Allen, he was our chief of police, and he quit as chief of police and became mayor. And
did he still carry his gun when he was the mayor? It seems like it was a rough job.
Well, I don't know. I don't think he did.
But I might have recommended it based on the other stories.
But then he served a couple of years. He finished out. I think he finished out for Logan.
Okay.
And he served a couple of years, and then he went back to being chief of police.
Okay,
and
so he was really kind of like a, well, similar to you. You had to step in when there was a vacancy. I guess whoever the mayor pro tem was didn't want to do it. So, chief, you pull in for 2 years, and he was the mayor for just a little bit.
And then he died of a heart attack.
Oh, goodness.
His chief of police, younger than me, if he was still living.
Mm-hmm.
So he's young. He would be younger than me. So then the other one was Pam Dorsey, and she still lives here in Sarepta, and she served 4 years. And, oh, my goodness, the alderman fought her tooth and toenail, everything she tried to do. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to get her to run for an alderman again.
Yeah.
And
she's
resistant
because of the tough time I gave him. But she served one term.
Just things with the sewer, things with the alderman not, you know, going along with her own decisions that she made. And they were all guys.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a woman.
And that ended up being
she will not run again.
A little more conflict.
She ran a term. The next was E.L. and
he mentioned him. And how long did he serve?
He served about four terms.
Okay.
And so he had stepped in several times in there too because he was a board member.
He was an acting mayor a few times in between to
yes,
fill some of
a
these
few
gaps.
Times in between.
So he'd already gotten broken in a little
yes,
bit
he had.
when he ran.
Okay. And EL was very good with people, meeting people, friendly, out and about. As a matter of fact, he would go out and dig a ditch. You know,
right.
He would go out and do manual labor. If somebody needed something and he felt like he could go do it, he would pick up trash if he needed to.
Yeah.
You know, just an all-around guy. And then next term that he ran, he only served 1 year.
Right. And that's when he unfortunately passed
died.
Away. And,
and I was mayor pro tem. And
then
I
in
stepped up.
Mayor Peggy Atkinson.
I know. Which I never dreamed I'd do.
Well, it sounds like you're enjoying it at least a little bit.
Some. There's some parts I've gone home and cried a whole lot.
People ask me, are you enjoying being the mayor? And my standard answer is, it depends on the day.
You're right. And that's a good answer.
If you can look back, and I've been the mayor for 4 years. I've filled the rest of a previous mayor's term and then ran for re-election in 2017. So I'm now at about my four-year mark. And I'm actually seeing some of the things that I started trying to do in the first year or 2 years starting to kind of gain some traction. And so now I feel like but for a while it looks like, okay, I don't know if I'm accomplishing anything or not. We'll just have to see. But if you can look back and see that some positive changes, even several small things, not one major thing, then yeah, you feel like you at least made a difference, even if the rest of the public doesn't acknowledge it.
Yes, we have made a difference. I mean, it has. There's been a lot of changes made. The park over there is a really nice park now. We've done a lot with the sewer system. My wastewater guy has won a couple awards.
Oh, wow.
We've won some awards for beautification and things that we've done. I've cleaned up some places. I have some other places right now that are being torn down. Just want to clean up the town and do what we can to have an attractive town for people who want to live here.
Yeah.
Because they can live in four towns and they're going to go to all four schools.
Right. That's right. Doesn't matter where they live in this area.
That's
the same
right.
school system. So that's not well. And it sounded like that was a draw in the past because
it was.
If you lived in Sarepta, you went to the Sarepta and you were a Hornet, K-12. You had an asset that because of that consolidation, it wasn't as much of a draw. So you have to find the other things. And if you're doing beautification and bringing some other things here, that's the new draw. So. Nice, quiet, peaceful town. And now you got Dorothy's.
Yep.
You were telling me, again, we had a nice conversation as I was setting up these microphones and the recording equipment and everything, and there were some kind of funny stories about people who come to Sarepta because of a particularly famous country singer who happens to be your son. So talk about that and the kind of the maybe undue attention the town gets from that. You said some people are coming from a long way off just because this was where he grew up.
Yes, we've even had people from Iowa to come and stop in town, you know, and just want a picture made at the sign out there because it says Homer Trace Adkins.
I did see something. I haven't gone over to read it, but I think there's like under the gazebo that's right here near the City Hall building.
Yes.
You've got a little information. Say, yep, uh-huh. This is where he was born and raised.
Yes. And they'll go and have pictures made. My husband would, every morning, he would always come to the post office in the store over there. They would not even know that was his dad.
Because the gazebo is right by the post office.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're taking pictures of a picture of a poster.
Yeah, he would come home and he'd say, there's people from out of town. I know that was before I was mayor. He said, they're up there taking pictures of the town sign and the gazebo. And he said, they don't even know who I am. He said, I just walked out of the post office, got in the truck, and came on back home. They didn't know that his dad just walked out of the post office, which is real funny.
Yeah.
But now they will come to town, and a lot of times they will come here, and they just come in and want to talk and want to know anything about Trace.
Right.
Then they'll look in here and they'll say, your last name's Adkins. Are you related to him? And I'd say, yes, I am. Well, how are you related? Well, I'm his mom. You are his mom? I don't believe that. They do that at LMA board meetings too.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yes, I am. And so they'll want to get their wife out of the car or something, bring her in here, have a picture made or something. And I will, you know, do something for them, go out, maybe take a picture in front of the sign or something with them. And they're tickled to death. They came all the way from Iowa, maybe going to South Louisiana and coming through Sarepta, which is off of the beaten path.
Right. Yeah.
Just so they can come through the little town. I used to have people that would drive up in my driveway. But I told the people at the post office and our store, please don't tell them where
Stop
I live.
Telling them my address.
Because it's not a gated house.
No,
I don't have
no.
a big, you know, and they can just drive up in my driveway. It's not as bad now, but when he first came out, it was really bad.
When he first got big,
Yes, it was. It's not now. But I also had three sons, not just one. And Tracy started singing. His real name's Tracy. He started singing when he was a junior in high school, gospel music. And they travel singing, and I was hoping he'd go into gospel music. He worked offshore and decided he was going to move to Nashville in the 90s. And then he became well-known as Trace Adkins. My middle son's name is Clay, and he works for IP, and he's a manager. He travels all the time, too, like Tracy does. And then we had a younger son named Scott, and he was killed in a car wreck at 21. All three of my boys were Mr. Sarepta High School, and their dad, Aaron, was my husband, and we were Mr. and Ms. Sarepta High, which I think is really neat.
So you had a legacy going on here, If you
Sometimes
were an Adkins,
that's
you were
mentioned.
Mr. and Mrs. Sarepta High.
Mr. and Mrs. Sarepta High, and we married then and had the three boys. And that last one that got killed, he was a lot like my dad. He was a comedian. He had, well, both Tracy has dry humor, but you can't tell it. But and Clay does too, but they're both shy. You wouldn't believe that. But Scott was not shy.
Yeah.
Everybody loved him.
He was a comedian.
He was the outgoing one. And he always kept something going, but he was really under a lot of stress because they all played football. They were all good ball players. And Scott was like, I got to live up to my brothers, you know. And when it came time for the nominations in high school for Mr. Sarepta High, he was really worried. He thought, if I don't get it.
He'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah, but
he got
did
it.
Get it.
Yeah.
And the thing, like Most Handsome, too, they were all like in those pageants, too.
Yeah.
And Scott didn't get Most Handsome, and he was devastated. And whenever he got one of the runner-ups, the girl said, oh, Scott, we got second runner-up. He said, I'm not proud of that. He said, I was supposed to be Most Handsome like Tracy and Clay was.
Now, how far apart age-wise were your boys?
Tracy was born in 62, so there was 3 years difference between him and Clay. Mm-hmm. And then Scott was born 7 years later, so there's 10 years difference between Scott and Tracy, and seven between Clay and Scott.
Okay.
And I worked at the high school the whole time they were going to school. So I was the secretary, and if they came in the office, I was there.
If they got in any
kind
of trouble,
they couldn't get in trouble without
coming
by mama.
They didn't even have to wait to get home.
And the one to get in trouble was Tracy. Clay was never in trouble. And then Scott stayed in trouble because he cut up in class all the time.
You said he was the comedian.
He was the comedian.
He was always
He tried to make them laugh, but a lot of times it wasn't funny, so he had to come to the office.
It was probably funny to the class, just not the teacher.
It wasn't funny to the teacher.
Yeah, and that's the one that gets to control whether you go up to the secretary.
And when my dad died in 1983, I was devastated, and Daddy died that year. Tracy got married that year, and Clay went off to college, and I felt like my whole world had caved in on me. And we were going to school one day, and I said, Scott, I know why God gave me you. I said, because you're so much like my daddy. And I said, you're always cutting up. And I said, here you are to kind of take T. Caraway's place in our life, you know, my daddy. And I felt like I'd lost the others. Of course, Tracy was like, Mama, you got a daughter-in-law. And then Clay was like, Mama, I'm not gone. I'm just at Louisiana Tech. But it's a difference.
Yeah.
I cried whenever one of them graduated. And it's been a real, you know, adjustment to lost Scott, but it's been 21 years now. You live with it. And then when I don't know which is the worst, losing a child or a husband. But I didn't know but for 2 weeks that Arundel had cancer. And he was gone in two
weeks.
Oh, my,
he went quickly.
He wasn't a complainer.
Yeah.
He was a strong man that worked at the box plant. And then when he retired, he never let me know he was hurting. So I've survived. I'm here and working for the town.
That's right. Making it better.
Making it better, I hope.
Well, speaking of the town, as we close out, let me just offer you the same opportunity I give all my guests to speak directly to our audience and tell them why they should come pay a visit, not just because it's the home of Trace Atkins, but come pay a visit or maybe even move to Sarepta, Louisiana.
That's right. Just move to the small town where you don't have all the traffic that you have in the bigger cities. And we have a good town with three churches and our junior high school. We have lots going on over at the ballpark. We have a summer ball program. We have a good recreation field over there. We have a municipal building that we let them use for showers and parties and things like that. And it's just a small town feel that we like. Our small town. Everybody knows everybody almost, but you have a lot of new people that move in and they don't. You can have cows and horses. Of course, we've got ordinances about dogs running loose, but you can have your animals. And then we're trying to clean Sarepta up to make it a better appealing place for people to live.
Well, Mayor Peggy Atkins, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you for coming.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Peggy Atkins for talking with me. After our interview, I did have lunch at Dorothy's Diner in Sarepta, and I can highly recommend you try it when you're there. I had the shrimp po' boy, and it was delicious. I also want to again say thanks to John Gallagher, Karen White, and the Louisiana Municipal Association for sponsoring this series on small towns in Louisiana. As always, we thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, Coke Industries, and the Southern Mercantile for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I hope you'll join me for the next episode when we visit another small town in the state of Louisiana. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Urbanomics production that tells the stories of America's great small towns. We release new episodes every other week, featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there, and sometimes exploring issues that affect small towns everywhere. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonant Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can hang out with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the towns we visit by stopping by our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We love to show you all the small towners out there, some great images from the small towns we visit, and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in and the places you hear about on our podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you real soon.
We stand adjourned.